again, and welcome to Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy. I'm your host, certified sex therapist Lori Watson, author of Wanting Sex Again, and blogger at Psychology Today and WebMD. And I have with me Dr. Adam Matthews, my co-host, who's a couples therapist, psychotherapist, and president of NCAMFT. Foreplay is dedicated to helping couples keep it hot. Each episode, we cover an aspect of sex that impacts your sex life and something that you can relate to. So if you find our discussions helpful, please give us a review on iTunes or Stitcher. We would love it if you would tell a friend about us. You can find us also on the web at foreplayrst.com. And if you have a comment or a topic that you'd like us to talk about, we'd love to hear from you. Please send them to us at info@foreplayrst.com. Thanks for listening. Now on to today's topic. So we are kind of matchy today.
We're matchy.
Yeah, I mean, you're like wearing this blue and black checked shirt, and I'm wearing this blue velvet shirt.
Right.
Because, well, what I'm thinking is we're going to go on YouTube.
We're going to go on YouTube.
We're going to go on YouTube, and eventually we're going to post our stuff there, and we're going to have to be matchy-matchy.
Why?
Yeah, because I'm going to, like, call you up and say, what are you wearing and
are you
all
gonna,
that.
Are you going to make me, like, put on some makeup or something if I'm going to go?
Oh, yes, you're going to wear makeup. Actually, you do not need it. You're so young and handsome already.
Lori, we've already talked about this. I'm turning 40. Let me be old. Let me be old.
Yeah, okay.
Well, 40 is not. I don't feel like 40 is super old anymore, but still.
No, 40 is like the new 20, and 60 is like the new 40.
Can 40 be like the new 16, except without the hormones and the gross, you know, gross dating? Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So we want to tell you guys about somebody really special on our team.
Yeah.
We have some team members that are behind the scenes, and the big one is Joe Davis.
Yeah, Joe.
Joe is our editor, and he's been our editor for all, let's see now, 105 episodes.
Yeah,
Joe, can you believe it?
Joe gets to hear all the outtakes, all the times that we mess up, and we just say, scratch that, Joe, and he automatically knows.
And he makes us sound good. And Joe, we just want you to know we are grateful for you. We don't see you very much, but we're very grateful for what you do
for us. Each podcast actually takes about 4 hours because of all of our mess ups, and then Joe added this down to a nice crisp 30.
Exactly. And we also know that we had some sound problems, you know, a few episodes back, and we are so sorry about that. We cleaned up. We know what happened. We know we're never going to go through that again. So for those of you who have stuck with us and listened through the bad sound period, somebody gave us a review on iTunes. Oh, by the way, please hit us on iTunes. But they said, you know, great show, bad sound.
Yeah.
I'm like, I know, oh my God, there's people who are, you know, coming to listen to us during that season, and they're going to think we were really terrible. But
well, hopefully we are past that now. So,
and we also have another person, my husband, who does a lot of setup and breakdown, and who kind of sets up the computer, usually does that all well.
Yeah, he does. He does. Well, he worked tirelessly to figure out the sound problem.
He did. And my son Reed, he also helps us as well. Yeah. He also tweets out things about Foreplay on Twitter, and, you know, kind of helps get more people to listen.
That's good.
So it's been great. He's a therapist at my clinic. So
a good
awesome.
One from everything I hear.
Yeah, he's doing really well. He's just about to be licensed now, end of this year. So he's going into sex therapy. He's going to go take a program up in Michigan.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's a great program up there.
So he's moving to Michigan.
No, he will be commuting. He'll have to fly up there. They do long weeks and long weekends and things like that. So he'll still see his patients down here, and then he'll go up there. I know.
I'm
a son old enough for that.
You know I'm from Michigan, right?
I didn't. Yeah. You know what, Adam? I have liked every person I've ever met from Michigan.
Really?
I totally have.
And I can't say I'm a native. I lived there for about 6 years. So.
Oh, but see? Another person I like from Michigan. Okay, we want to hear from all you Michigan people.
Yeah, about how cold it is right now. You are freezing. Y'all had a lot of snow last week.
Yes, but thank you, Joe, Reed, and Derek. Yes. We appreciate you.
Yes, very much so. So we're doing a mailbag this week. We love when people write in and ask us questions, and they're so vulnerable questions. Like, I love just the openness with which they share
And kind questions. Oh, I got to say, you know, I get absolute hate mail on my blog on Psychology Today. You know, some of you listeners who read me on Psychology Today, could you comment there too? Because I get absolute hate mail there. And here we get all this this love. And
don't read the comments.
Care.
Don't read the comments.
I know. I just can't.
Not anymore.
Put on steel panties and just keep writing.
I'm sorry. I usually leave my steel panties at home. anyway, this week we have a email from Glenn who says, I've listened to all the podcasts over a period of time and don't recall hearing anything directing or giving options to a pursuer when they are all but begging for sex. Amidst constant rejection and even obligatory sex here and there, I find myself begging for meaningful sex. Meaningful to mean where I was 99.99% sure my partner wanted to be there. This situation is mentally hard to manage without shutting down and edging up to resentment. I get I'm not all the Don Juan I may have been, but on top of this is the absence of initiation for sex, and when asked about not initiating, it's met with, I'm not that kind of person. As much as I'd like them to change, I'd actually prefer how to better manage myself in the constant rejection and obligatory sex. Right. This is such a common problem that I think are facing, and he's wanting.
I have six patients right now who are going to believe that we made that up, and it was really them, and it's not.
No, it's
for
not.
The
That's
record,
right.
This is really a Glenn, not his real name, who writes in. And by the way, if you write in and you don't want us to use it on the air, just say so. We won't. We would never do that, and we never use real names, and we try to kind of make. Even when we're talking about our patients, we're talking about composites of people that we've seen because we don't want to betray anybody.
But this is such a common problem. It really could be any one of a number of clients that we see, right?
And I got to say, it is really more complicated than he's saying. I mean, I sit with this every day, and so do you, Adam. And it's like there's another side to it. You know, there's her side to it.
Right.
And I know at the beginning, if you listen to that, and there's going to be a lot of men and women out there who are saying, yep, yep, that's exactly how it is. That's truly my partner acts like that, never initiates, never wants sex. First of all, you have our sympathy.
Yeah.
We know that when things are this dire, it's really tough. And I know how painful it is, and I know how hard it is to believe that there's a way through.
There is. And even knowing that she has a side to this as well, Glenn's position of feeling like he is begging for sex, that's not a position you want anybody to be in.
No.
Right? In a relationship where, where they feel like they have to beg for it. But I think he is asking a very good question right there at the end that I think we could tweak a little bit, like not wanting him to accept the constant rejection, but he's asking, how do I better manage myself?
Right. Because this is the only side of it that he can manage, is himself.
Right. It's the only one that he can control, really. He can't make her want more sex.
Right. The only power he's got is to make his own changes.
Mm. Right. So what do you think? What would we say to him? Where would we start with Glenn?
First of all, I wonder about the begging, right? I mean, he's so defeated and hurt probably and angry that probably comes through.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, so
begging is not sexy.
Begging is not sexy.
Right.
It really isn't. And so, you know, he says, he kind of confesses to us, right? I used to be more seductive and, you know, I'm discouraged, which we know it's very discouraging to keep on being seductive when you don't get the pop.
Yeah.
That you want from your partner, that you say, let's make love, and you want their face to light up and say, yes, let's go. Let's go, baby. But I think that you're right in terms of his tone and how he's saying it probably are a huge part of the problem.
Yeah. I think it could be so constant that he's not even realizing how constant that it is, right?
Right.
So there's the possibility that it's overwhelming his partner with the frequency of which that he is, that he's asking, either that he's the frequency with which he's initiating or also the frequency with which he is expressing his disappointment about sex, right?
I like that.
And I think so that there's the possibility that that is going to come through. And so anytime he's disappointed about anything in their relationship or has any kind of complaint or he comes home and he just has a bad day, right?
Mm-hmm.
The frequency with which he has complained about this problem is going to make her think he may have had a bad day at work, but all of a sudden she's thinking that he's frustrated that they're not having sex.
Yeah, right? And I think that people tend to do that, right? They tend to link problems. Mm-hmm. So you have a bad day at work, you come home and you're complaining to your partner about the bad day at work. Then in your mind, I mean, for you, it's perfectly linked. Mm-hmm. You know, in your mind you go, and then, you know, what would make this day better or good is if I could have sex and I'd get all that comfort and skin-on-skin stuff. Then, you know, this wouldn't be such a terrible day. But then you think my partner doesn't want to do that with me. And so suddenly the complaint about work turns into a complaint about the bedroom. You know, I have a bad time here. And then, you know, you, like, don't love me and really care about me. You know, if you did, you'd be meeting my sexual needs. And so the difficulty is, how does your partner stay attentive to you about the multitude of issues that happen in life without them becoming afraid that it's going to turn on them? Mm. I think my own husband said that once to me. I was in a really bad place about something, and I was bitching and moaning, you know, and really upset. And I'm like, you're not, like, kind of with me. And he goes, I know, I'm just afraid you're going to turn on me.
Yeah, that your bad mood is all of a sudden going to become my problem.
Yeah, exactly.
I understand that. Yeah. So that, I mean, that's especially if somebody's more avoidant. Right. Or is mm-hmm. more of the distancer, like that is going to be it's going to be too much. Right. And they're going to be afraid that it's going to now involve your bad mood is now going to involve them.
Yeah. Right? Suddenly they're going to become the target of your bad mood. So in some ways, what we're saying is separate out issues. First mm-hmm. of all, if you want your partner to attend to you in many different ways, don't link the sex problem to every argument. Mm. Really, yeah. Really, really, if you're going to talk about sex, prep your partner, say, let's talk about sex, and don't talk about sex outside of that prep.
Yeah. And I think
you know, confine it.
Yeah. And I think if for Glenn here, like, he has to begin to find joy in their relationship in other areas, mm-hmm. right? Like, he has to kind of check how often that he is having this conversation, how often he is initiating, how often he is disappointed by this and how that is coming through, right? To really reel that in so that everything is not about that, right?
Yeah. Okay, well, let's come right back. Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy with Dr. Adam Matthews and sex therapist Lori Watson. So, Adam, we're going to do a new thing. We are going to offer a link to Patreon on Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy, which is foreplayrst.com, for people who are really interested in helping us develop deeper, you know, more interesting podcasts and also offer resources to them.
Yeah, Patreon is a platform where you can directly support things that you love. And we know that several of you have been real supportive of us, and we hope you would consider being financially supportive as well.
Right, because we're running practices and families, and we need time really to do more, something like a webinar. We'd like to do some worksheets for you.
We really want to expand the resources that we can be able to provide to you as our listeners, dive deeper into the questions you have, offer more practical steps for you to have the best possible relationship.
So we're looking for some patrons. We appreciate already the love, the emails that you send. All of that is great. So if you love listening to us, you can find out how to support us by going to our website, foreplayrst.com. Thank you so much for considering that. We appreciate it.
Wanting sex again. How to rediscover desire and heal a sexless marriage by certified sex therapist Lori Watson.
Each chapter is designed to fix one of the problems that cause low libido, from early marriage through the childbearing years, even all the way through menopause. I've also had men read it and tell me that for them it was the most hopeful thing they read about resolving sexual problems.
Look for Wanting Sex Again on Amazon.com. You can also talk to Lori Watson for therapy in person or via Skype.
I offer couples counseling and sex therapy, and I think about both aspects of the relationship, emotional intimacy and sexual technique, and that combination together helps marriages be happy.
Improve your sex and improve your relationship with Awakening Center for Couples and Intimacy. Find out more at awakenloveandsex.com. Awaken what's possible.
Hi, I'm Dr. Adam Matthews, and I want to welcome you to Matthews Counseling. At Matthews Counseling, we believe it is our job to come alongside you in whatever difficult challenges of life you are in and help you rediscover hope and to find the strength that you have to face those challenges. We believe in people, specifically that no two people are alike and therefore they need solutions that are unique to them. We strive to create a safe and comfortable place for you to explore who you want to be and identify the obstacles standing in your way. Oftentimes, the first step toward finding help is the hardest, but it can also be the bravest. At MatthewsCounseling.net, we strive to help make the first step easy. There, you will find our blog with some great resources from our therapist. You'll also find a link to our client portal where you can schedule directly with our therapist at your convenience. We offer free 30-minute consultations, either in person or over the phone, so the first step is at no cost to you. Give us a call at 919-587-8018, or again, find us online at MatthewsCounseling.net. We look forward to working with you.
Okay, so we're talking about Glenn, our mailbag person, who is begging for sex. And you were talking about how he separates these issues. I would say, you know, if you're an avoidant partner, his avoidant partner, does his face light up when she does something for him that is her love language? I mean, maybe she's an acts of service person, and so she makes him a special meal. You know, and if he's helping for sex and he's like, ah, what's the big deal? You know, but does he let himself light up when she gives him love in the ways that she feels more comfortable with it?
Is he rejecting her bids and moves that she makes toward him?
Yeah. And so we would ask you, Glenn, what is your wife's love language? Mm-hmm. You know, how does she give you love? You know, presuming that she's not completely enroped in the power struggle and stopped altogether, what would she say? But I do this, that, and the other. And do you show adequate joy, appreciation, and things to her, you know, so that there's flow between the two of you, at least in some areas.
Yeah. The other thing, he says, I'm not a Don Juan. I'm not the Don Juan I may have been.
Gosh, right? That's crazy.
Yeah.
If you're a sexual pursuer, you need to be a Don Juan or, you know, a temptress.
Yeah. Well, even if it's not the same as it used to have been, he's got to cultivate that side. Right?
He does.
He's got to find the courage to continue
to that
seduction.
Black.
Yes.
Vote black.
Yeah. Go listen to our Game Theory podcast.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, he's got to continue to develop that side and find new ways to do that. He can't settle for the ways that if they've been married for a while in particular, or they've been in their relationship for a while, he can't continue to do the things that he has always done.
Okay. So let me be Glenn, and
okay.
You answer me.
Okay.
You know, it's like, yeah, that's sure, Adam, you know, but she doesn't want to do anything new. So your idea of doing something new, I mean, forget it.
Yeah.
She'll do it in the bed, and that's it.
Yeah. So we're talking about newness in the way that she wants, right? So that may mean being seductive by, if you don't like to go, I don't know, making something up, to the opera, and she does, and she loves going to the opera, right?
Mm-hmm.
It means buying her opera tickets.
Yeah.
Right, and going with her and having a good attitude about it, not complaining about it the whole time.
And you're right, Adam, in terms of like new things. That's why dating is partly so sexually oriented, is because doing something new cuts a groove in our brain that releases dopamine, which makes us feel good and makes us feel more sexual.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there is something truthful about anything new, not just a sexual thing that's new, but anything that you do that's new.
Yeah, and I realize you were asking about new things in the bedroom, new sexual techniques or new foreplay or new, I don't know, moves or whatever. But I think that you have to take it beyond that as well and find new things that just speak to her about your care and your concern for her.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm laughing to myself because I remember this one woman who was not very sexual. And she had a list, and it was like, wear your cowboy boots, wear tight jeans, take a shower, shave, put on aftershave cologne, light a candle. Mm-hmm. And what he said to me is, I don't want to do all that work. And she was willing to go from like once every 2 months to twice a week.
He would do that.
Yeah.
Dude, go get the
boots.
And
he's like, oh, that's so much work. That's so unnatural. I'm like, are you kidding me? To me, it's so systemic.
Oh,
you know, it isn't like maybe she doesn't need you to do something, you know, like fly from the trapeze, and maybe she doesn't want that at all. But what about, does she want you to say she's beautiful? Does she want you to talk about her different body parts that you find lovely, maybe in beautiful ways instead of crass ways? Mm. You know, what turns her on if you think about it really carefully? I mean, I would say a lot of sexual pursuers, maybe they don't like dirty talk, but they do want their partner to tell them explicitly what they like about them. Oftentimes I say, you know, people who say, tell me your feelings, what they're really asking for is, tell me the positive feelings you have about me. Mm. That's what tell me your feelings means.
Yeah.
Well, tell me the positive things that you like about me.
And once he discovers that, I think he has to continue to do those things, even if it doesn't result in an increase in sex.
For 6 months.
Right? He has to continue. He has to show that those things are going to be consistent in her life, right? Mm-hmm. She has to be able to trust and to count on those things, that they're not going to go away just because sex isn't happening.
Right. I think one thing, too, to remember, Glenn, is like low libido is usually obscured libido. I mean, libido is a force. It's a life force in us. And so when you have a partner who doesn't have much libido, is something is blocking it usually more than it's non-existent. I mean, 99% of the time, something is blocking it. And that doesn't mean, oh, she was molested and she's got this memory that's blocking it. It's usually the thing that blocks it is the power struggle. Mm. But there are often things in her past that block it. You know, maybe she was raised in a really strict kind of household, more rigid, more religious, and some religions do worse jobs of this, you know, in terms of putting down sexual expression. I mean, there are obviously, we believe, faithful people out there who have very positive, healthy sex views. But and I would say you're not necessarily the one to fix all that, but to be a listener of it. Mm. You know, when she says, you know, well, I don't want to do that because it's X, you know, it feels bad. You can repeat back. So you don't want to do this because of, you know, you feel like it would be wrong.
Well, and then he can start to be curious about what's going on with her rather than demanding, right? Mm-hmm. And rather than blaming that, of trying to understand, okay, you're different than me, right? You had different experiences. Let's try to understand those experiences so I can know what it's like to be you.
I had one couple, and you know who you are because I think you still listen to me and I'm so grateful you do. But, you know, they had both come from a religious background and they were both really repressed and rigid when they got married. And he kind of shifted a little bit more first in ways that were moral and healthy and everything, you know, so he wasn't talking about going outside the relationship. But it took her a while. You know, and I think what really turned the table was he stayed vulnerable. Mm. You know, he really tried very hard not to be blaming.
Yeah.
And he talked about what he was feeling, what he was going through, not what she should go through, but he really spoke from it from a vulnerable place, and that was helpful.
Yeah. And I think that position is hard to maintain, but I think you have to maintain it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to continue forward in that. And that we've talked about this before, but just that's just such a gracious position to take with your spouse, and it's an empathetic one.
It is.
Right? And so it doesn't push the other person away. It's going to draw them closer.
I think too, you, Glenn, you say, you know, how do I manage my own self? Mm-hmm. First of all, if I were you, I would set really hard boundaries on certain things. So again, when she says no, you know, discipline yourself to walk away and say, okay, you know, maybe catch you later another day. Like, really, truly don't pout about it. Also, when you get out of bed and the experience was less than what you want, don't complain about it. Don't anytime, ever, ever complain in the bed about sex.
That's right.
Pursuers, listen to me. When you're in bed, it's sacred territory. You know, that you should be grateful, appreciative of touch. You know, if they don't have an orgasm, if they don't get into it, just say, you know what? I love your skin. Mm-hmm. I love that we were, you know, had this time together. Be appreciative. Talking about sex, complaining about sex, dealing with sexual problems is off the bed.
That's right.
You know, out of the bedroom.
Go out into the hallway and shout back at her. No, that's not right. You don't want to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
No, wait till better moments to do that. You know, I think the other thing that Glenn needs to consider too is, has he allowed this issue to shut him down as an individual? mm-hmm. and where he has ceased to do things individually that make him attractive? Mm-hmm. Has he stopped working out and taking care of himself? Mm-hmm. Has he stopped pursuing his own hobbies and interests that are independent of her? Mm-hmm. Has he stopped going out with friends?
Right.
Has he stopped working to stimulate himself intellectually and emotionally? Mm-hmm. Has he growing as a person? Does he have things that are he's working on about himself that make him interesting?
Person.
Yeah. We have to be interesting people for each other, right?
We do.
Like that
is
just so key.
My husband is the most interesting man I know.
Yeah.
He always has been. He always will be. I mean,
yes.
He thinks about things, ideas, and I mean, what I love about him is he's interested in art and mm-hmm. architecture and travel and people and yeah. the outdoors and our children. I mean, he really has a breadth of knowledge. I mean, we tease him and we like fun facts by dad because, I mean, he knows something about everything.
That's awesome.
But he truly is an interesting person.
Yeah.
He's a great conversationalist.
My wife has projects going on all the time
uh-huh.
that she is doing that some of them I don't even know about. And when I find out about them, like, it's so interesting. She has, it's a whole new world that opens up
mm-hmm.
For us to be able to talk about, right?
Yeah.
This segment of bragging on our spouse is brought yeah. to you by keeping our own relationships hot. Thanks for listening to that.
That's right, because we know our partners listen.
That's right.
We're just getting a plug
right.
in
We're
there.
We're just getting, winning some points. All right.
Yeah, but no, Glenn, are you an alive person? Mm-hmm. You know, are you so depressed over this issue that you've let it overwhelm you? I'm thinking about one person in general, and it's like they're myopic in terms of how they focus on this problem, and they've let everything else go, and it's like, that's a poor strategy.
Yeah, he has to develop himself and continue to do the things that were attracted her to him in the first place.
Push-ups and sit-ups, dude.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Those are good.
Yeah,
those are good.
All
right. Well, Glenn, thanks for writing in. We appreciate it.
And hope it's been helpful. We're in sympathy, but we also think that there's a way through.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening. Hey, help us stay on top here at 4Play. We'd love it if you would subscribe and share it with your friends. And please take 1 sec and rate and review us. Thanks so much.